So AFP Audio is today talking to Dr. Faline House, who's a GP and a PhD candidate at the Menzies Research Institute and the University of Tasmania. Hi, Faline.
Hi.
So Faline is one of the authors of a research article in the May 2012 edition of Australian Family Physician, and the title of the article is Management of Hypertension in General Practice, a Qualitative Needs Assessment of Australian GPs. So, Faline, this research considered issues around hypertension, a really common problem in general practice. What do we know from the literature, including your previous research, about the management of hypertension in general practice?
Yeah, so I think I'd like to start by saying that on the whole, GPs in Australia do a very good job of managing blood pressure. But as in most areas of medicine, there are improvements that can be made. There are large epidemiological studies that show that the benefits of antihypertensive medication haven't been translated into the day-to-day management of blood pressure, so that blood pressure goals are only attained in about 25 to 40% of patients worldwide. The focus group study that we conducted in 2008 showed really that rather than large gaps in the knowledge and awareness of blood pressure management, there are a number of other important factors that work against best practice blood pressure management. And these included things like uncertainty about the patient's true underlying blood pressure, patient age and comorbidity, patient attitude, patient-centred care and clinical inertia.
Yep. And, I mean, if people actually want to read that article, it was back in AFP in 2010, if people want to go back and look there. And so then you moved on to this study. What was this study trying to investigate?
So in this study, we wanted to take a more bottom-up approach and ask GPs to identify the strategies that they thought would best improve the management of hypertension.
Okay, and so how did you go about finding this answer?
So again, we used a qualitative focus group approach. We purposely sampled the General Practice South Tasmania database to select large group practices, and we did this so that we could conduct the focus groups within practices and capture the views of a range of GPs in terms of their gender, age and clinical experience. We conducted four focus groups between March and April of 2010. Each group had 5 to 7 participants, so overall we had 25 GPs and GP registrars take part. I facilitated and audio recorded all the groups. The tapes were then transcribed in full, and then I went back through and corrected and verified them. We started with a standard preamble and had a schedule with several open-ended questions and key topics or quotes designed to stimulate conversation and guide the discussion. Myself and Emily Hansen, the second author, who is a sociologist, conducted an iterative thematic analysis. We analysed the transcripts as we went and finalised them at the end of the four groups when no new issues were emerging, which suggests that data saturation had occurred. We had ethics approval to do the study, and we had funding to reimburse GPs for their time and provide catering.
Yep, and so you described how you went, selected which GPs to interview or to have in the focus groups and have the data back. How did you then analyse that? You said it was an iterative thematic analysis. How did the two of you do that?
So independently we read the transcripts and then discussed them and then independently identified our preliminary list of themes, and then we both reread the transcripts and through a process of discussion really refined and then finalised our major themes. Our third investigator, Mark, commented on the themes and the analysis once it was finalised.
Yep, and so through that process you came up with the four main themes that are outlined in the article. Starting at the beginning, the first one was uncertainty about BP measurement. What did you find there?
So the participants were uncertain about the best way to measure, record and interpret blood pressure. They questioned what was the best current technology to measure it, and whether the average, the lowest, or the out-of-clinic blood pressure should be used for interpretation. And although there was still some lingering distrust about digital blood pressure machines, general acceptance of their use was evident across the groups, to the point where participants were recommending patients use home or ambulatory blood pressure monitoring instead of them relying on clinic pressures. But many issues were preventing the widespread use of home and ambulatory monitoring. For example, when they suggested patients should purchase or hire a home blood pressure machine, they then felt ill-equipped to provide appropriate advice about where to buy the machines, which machines were validated, the costs involved, and when and how to calibrate them. They also wanted guidance on how often and when patients should take their blood pressure at home.
Okay. And so then the next theme that sort of came up was about achieving consensus in practice. What did this include?
So participants were talking about they wanted a more standardised approach to hypertension management, and this referred to standardisation in terms of consensus across guidelines, but also consensus at an individual doctor level. And they described a lack of internal consensus within practices so that each GP has their own technique and their own thoughts about the appropriate way to take, interpret and manage your blood pressure.
Yes, and so in a similar way, there was then the next area that came up was about accommodating patient differences. How did this sort of come into play?
So they talked about taking a number of patient factors into consideration, and these included biomedical factors such as age and comorbidity, but there were also other factors such as their familiarity with the patient and the patient's willingness to participate in treatment. So sometimes allowances were made for high blood pressure readings depending on patient social circumstances.
Okay, and then the final theme that came up was systematic barriers. What sort of things came up here?
Here they were talking about things like having to run a general practice as a small business with infrastructure and staffing costs, raising issues. For example, home blood pressure monitoring often incurred a cost to the practice because machines lent out were not returned. And from a business perspective, they didn't want to charge patients for the hire of machines because that would increase their administration costs and there were GST implications.
Yep. Okay. And so if people want to read more, there are examples of quotes that sort of came behind each of these things. Themes in Table 2 in the article. So once you had all of these themes, how did you interpret and put together all these findings?
I guess we know that knowledge creation, distillation and dissemination aren't enough on their own to ensure the use of evidence in decision making. And we think that this study highlights areas of uncertainty and important contextual issues that need to be addressed in efforts to strengthen a systematic approach to the management of blood pressure and cardiovascular risk. Some of the questions raised by participants highlight the difficulties of knowledge management and the problems faced by time-pressured practitioners in knowing where to access this often disparate information, which is why we really put together Table 4. But it does show that most of the answers to the questions raised are available in the Heart Foundation Blood Pressure Management Guidelines.
Yep. And actually, sorry, I should have mentioned before, as you said, this was a bottom-up type research approach of asking, what are the barriers and what are the solutions from general practice? Table 3 has some of the actions that the GP groups came up with to improve hypertension management. Were any of those surprising or different from your perspective, or are they things that come up in different formats in regularly?
Yes, I think the thing that I was surprised but interested in was that clarification of the best technique to take blood pressure. They were really saying, you know, if ambulatory is the gold standard, then tell us that and that's what we'll use. I think they just want, you know, instead of having three or four different ways to take blood pressure, really just give me the best way and that's the way that I'll use. So I think, you know, information needs to be distilled and presented in a more accessible way to GPs.
And I suppose that's a message for guideline developers that, you know, if it is ambulatory, say it's ambulatory,
yes.
And then yes, you might say, but if you can't do ambulatory, this is the next best option.
That's right.
That would probably be the sort of thing that the GPs would find helpful.
Absolutely, yes. And it was about finding a different funding, reducing the barriers to access and the financial restrictions involved with ambulatory blood pressure monitoring that would go with saying that's the gold standard and that's what you should be using. Mm.
Yes, so I suppose, yes, having a gold standard and an accessible gold standard.
Right.
Yes. And so, like all research, there were some limitations. What did you think some of the limitations of this research were?
Well, participants were self-selected and we did reimburse them. And I guess we've captured the views of a relatively small number of urban GPs who were working within group practices. And these practices were involved in the supervision of medical students and GP registrars, and we weren't able to include the views of solo and rural and remote GPs.
Yeah, okay. So in conclusion, what would you say are some key points for people to remember from this research?
I think the most pressing needs of this group of GPs is the reduction of the uncertainty about how you measure and interpret blood pressure readings. And I think that it's identified that sections of existing hypertension guidelines need to be reviewed and implemented, but there are these other important contextual issues that also need to be addressed if we're going to, strengthen a systematic approach to the management of blood pressure and cardiovascular risk.
Excellent. Thank you very much for talking to us today, Feline.
Pleasure.